Today I'm going to share with you the higher teaching of the Dhamma, which is Abhidhamma. Can you hear me? Yes, okay. Abhidhamma. Abhidhamma. It's a two compound words. Abhi and Dhamma. Abhi means higher or distinguished. Dhamma means teaching. So it's a teaching, it's a higher teaching related with ultimate truth. All this I have preached last February, so I will not go into detail. For those who have not yet attended my previous talk, you can read my book when you are free. Abhidhamma deals with ultimate truth. There are two types of truth. One is called conventional truth. The other is called ultimate truth. What is conventional truth? Conventional truth deals with ordinary conceptual thought, like house, trees, human beings, table, mountains, ocean, and so on. They are called conventional truth because they do not exist in the ultimate sense. If you can penetrate, they can be subdivided again. For example, this table. If you can penetrate this table, if you are a four element meditator, if you discern this four element in this table, you can see this table breaks down into billions of particles. And if you can analyze each particle, you will find it consists of eight elements. Earth element, water, fire, wind, color, smell, taste, and nutritive essence. So these eight are the final analysis. So these eight are the ultimate truth, which cannot be subdivided again. But since we cannot penetrate into ultimate truth because we don't have enough concentration and wisdom, so we have to use conventional truth to communicate. In Sutta, Buddha used conventional truth. But in Abhidhamma, Buddha emphasized only ultimate truth. So in Abhidhamma, there are four ultimate truths. Number one is called citta. Citta means consciousness. There are 89 consciousness. Number two, cetasika. 62 cetasika. Number three, ultimate truth is rupa, matter. There are 28 rupa or matter. Number four, nibbana. So these are the main four ultimate truths taught in Abhidhamma. So in Abhidhamma, ultimate truth is fourfold. Number one, consciousness. What is consciousness? Now, people tend to identify consciousness as I, a being, a self. For example, when seeing consciousness, see, when I consciousness sees something, then we will say, I see a flower. When ear consciousness hears something, people say, I hear something. So they identify consciousness as a person, as a being, which is wrong view. It's not a correct vision. So the characteristic of consciousness is just aware of an object. Purely aware of an object is called consciousness or citta. The mental factors. Number two, ultimate truth is mental factors. Mental factors including mindfulness, greed, hatred, delusion, envy, jealousy, concentration, wisdom. All these are mental factors. These mental factors perform their specific function in order to help consciousness in a total act of cognition. I will explain mental factors in detail later on. So the consciousness and mental factors, these two are called namma or mind. They are called nama or mind. They are called nama in Pali because they bend. They bend towards the object and adhere to the object. Bending towards the object. That's why it's called nama in Pali. Number three, mental, ultimate truth is called metta, rupa. It's called rupa because it changed state. Owing to adverse physical conditions such as heat, cold, thirst, hungry. So when the weather is cold, your skin becomes cracked. When the weather is hot, your skin becomes red. So it changed. Matter, what is called rupa in Pali, because it's deformed. Deformed by adverse physical conditions such as heat, cold, and so on. So the three consciousness, mental factors, and matter are called conditioned dhamma. Sankata dhamma. It's called conditioned dhamma because it's produced by causes. Produced by causes. It cannot arise without causes. And their causes are necessarily impermanent, anicca, unsatisfactory, dukkha, and non-self. Here, dukkha, some people translate as suffering, which is not so accurate. According to the explanation in Pali, dukkha means vile, V-I-L-E, vile. It means vile because it is devoid of permanent, devoid of happiness, and devoid of self. That's why it's called dukkha. So I will use dukkha rather than suffering. So this consciousness, mental factors and matter are conditioned dhamma because they are produced by causes, and their causes are necessary, impermanent, dukkha and non-self. And this consciousness and mental factors and matter, the combination of these three are called, conventionally we call it I, you, a person. A person is made up by these three. Consciousness, mental factors, matter. So in the ultimate sense, only these three. But in the conventional truth, we call it as I, a person or being. The next one, Nibbana. Nibbana is called unconditioned Dhamma. They are not produced by any causes. And it is, Nibbana is permanent, sukha and non-self. Nicca, sukha and anatta. So how can one see all these ultimate truths, these four ultimate truths? In science, if you want to investigate matter or materiality, the scientists will use electronic microscope. But as a meditator, if you want to penetrate these four ultimate truths, you have to wear concentration glasses to penetrate into the ultimate truth. You need that. So here, Nibbana is the eternal happiness. No matter how wealthy a person is, he is not contented. If you earn 3,000 a month, you want more. You want 4,000, 5,000. Why? Because of greed. Because of greed. And sometimes, once you have gained a lot of wealth, you have to protect. You have to protect your wealth. So sometimes you have worry, fear, your wealth will be destroyed by fire, by government, or will be stolen. So you have also constant fear and worry. That is rooted in hatred. Then sometimes you think that this wealth may be permanent. You can possess it all the time. This is also not correct. Because Buddha said, whatever phenomena is impermanent. So because of greed, hatred and delusion, we are not truly happy. We are not truly happy. So long the greed, hatred and delusion have not been uprooted, we cannot say we are truly happy. But Nibbana, Nibbana, devoid of this great hatred and delusion. That's why Nibbana is eternal happiness. So these are the four main ultimate truths in Abhidhamma. Now let us discuss number one, citta. There are 89 citta. Number one is called citta consciousness. The characteristic of citta or consciousness is awareness of or knowing of an object. The function is to be a forerunner of the mental state. To be a forerunner of the mental state doesn't mean that it arrives first. Mental states or mental factors arise together with consciousness. But consciousness is a forerunner because the cetasika, the mental factors arise depend on consciousness. That is called the forerunner of all mental states. The manifestation of consciousness, it appears in the meditator's mind, it appears in the meditator's experience as a continuity of processes. The mind arises, passes away, continuous, without stop, without any gap in between. So the consciousness appears in the meditator's mental experience as an unbroken continuity of processes. It does not appear in the meditator's mind as an I person or being. And the proximate cause for the consciousness is mind and matter, because all minds must arise depend on matter. For example, for I consciousness to arise, it depends on what? For I consciousness to arise, it depends on what? I sensitivity. I sensitivity. For ear to arise, it depends on ear. For ear consciousness to arise, it depends on ear sensitivity. So the proximate cause for consciousness is matter. And also, mind, mental factors is also the proximate cause for mind, for consciousness, because consciousness cannot arise without association of mental factors. Thus, proximate cause for consciousness is mind and matter. So we have 89 citta. I go very fast because I have discussed this before in my previous talk. There are 89 citta, 89 consciousness. This 89 can be divided into four according to the way, according to the plane of existence. In the teaching of the Buddha, the Buddhist cosmology or 31 planes of existence can be divided into three planes. Number one, let us go from the down, then from down to up. Number one is called one hell beings realm. Then one animal realm. The third, I think we read together so you will not fall asleep. Okay. Number three, Peta realm, Asura realm, human realm, and six Deva realm. So this 11 realm is called 11 sense planes. 11 sense sphere planes. Above this is three planes of jhana, three planes of jhana, three planes of third jhana, and seven planes of fourth jhana. This 16 planes are called 16 five material sphere planes. Above this is immaterial sphere planes. Number one is infinite space. Number two, infinite consciousness. Number three, nothingness. And number four, neither perception nor non-perception. These four are called four immaterial sphere planes. So according to classification of consciousness, consciousness can be divided into four according to plane. Number one is called sensory plane. Let's read together. Sensory plane, fine material sphere, immaterial sphere, and supramundane. So according to the classification of consciousness, consciousness can be divided according to plane, four. Sensory, fine material sphere, immaterial sphere, supramundane. So they are fit before sensory plane. This sensory plane, sensory consciousness are the consciousness that mostly move about in the 11 sensory plane. The consciousness mostly move about in 11 sensory planes called sensory consciousness. And there are 54. Now let us see this 54 sensory consciousness. And this 54 sensory consciousness can be divided into three groups according to its nature. Before we discuss what is unwholesome consciousness, wholesome consciousness, resultant consciousness, and functional consciousness, we need to understand the six groups first. So there are six types of groups. Three are wholesome groups: non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. And another three are unwholesome groups: greed, hatred, and delusion. So consciousness can be classified with respect to its nature in four ways: unwholesome, wholesome, resultant, and functional. And why it is called unwholesome or akusala in Pali? Because it is mentally unhealthy, morally blameworthy, and productive of painful results. That is called akusala in Pali. And the next one is wholesome consciousness. Wholesome consciousness is called kusala in Pali because it is mentally healthy, morally praiseworthy, and productive of pleasant result. That is called kusala in Pali. And the next one is resultant, vipaka. Resultant is a result of unwholesome and wholesome karma. And number four, functional merely involves pure activity without leaving any karmic potency. Okay, so let us read one more time. Consciousness can be classified with respect to its nature in four ways: one, unwholesome; two, wholesome; three, resultant; and four, functional. So just now we mentioned that there are 54 sensory consciousness, and this 54 can be divided into 12 unwholesome, 24 beautiful, and 18 fruitless. Now we discuss what is unwholesome first. And this unwholesome, 12 unwholesome, can be divided into three groups again. 8 are rooted in greed. Another 8 are rooted in hatred. And another 2 rooted in delusion. And this greed, hatred, and delusion, they themselves are not consciousness. They are what? They are mental factors. They are cetasika. They are mental factors. As I have said, mental factors, consciousness cannot arise alone, but must be associated with certain mental factors. So consciousness, the characteristic of consciousness is just pure awareness of an object. Therefore, it itself cannot be good or bad. It It becomes good or bad depends on the association of that mental factor. Okay, there are 12 types of unwholesome consciousness. 8 rooted in greed. I just give a few examples, will be enough. Let's see number 1. One consciousness accompanied by joy, associated with wrong view unprompted. For unwholesome consciousness rooted in greed, they have 2 types of accompanied feeling. Either it's accompanied by joy or equanimity. And it's either associated with mental factor of wrong view or dissociated. And either it's prompted or unprompted. For example, number 1. One consciousness accompanied by joy associated with wrong view unprompted. A boy with joy happily steal an apple, thinking that with a view that associated with wrong view, does not understand this is a bad action, and unprompted he does it spontaneously without inducement from others. Okay, and the next is sometimes he does it with neutral feeling or prompted by others. After inducement by other, then he steals an apple. So there are certain conditions among this eight that you have to read yourself. I don't have time to go one by one. And although here we say consciousness here is rooted in greed, it's also its underlying cause is delusion. Delusion accompanies all types of unwholesome consciousness. And another one, 2 rooted, Nadia. Among 12 unwholesome consciousness, 2 rooted in hatred. Can you read for me? 1 consciousness accompanied by displeasure associated with aversion unprompted. 1 consciousness accompanied by displeasure associated with aversion prompted. So what's the difference? Prompted and prompted. Suppose one gets angry and kills another unprompted, spontaneously. And another one, number 2, one gets angry and kills another one after inducement by others. So this is the difference. But the feeling here must be displeasure. It cannot be joy. And it cannot be equanimity. If you get angry, can you smile? Cannot. So it cannot accompany by joy. And when you get angry, your feeling cannot be neutral. It must be displeasure. So displeasure feeling only accompanied with consciousness rooted in anger. And another 2, rooted in delusion. Please read together. 1 consciousness accompanied by equanimity associated with thought. 1 consciousness accompanied by equanimity associated with restlessness. So when accompanied feeling is equanimity. So when you are doubtful, doubt about triple gems, the consciousness cannot accompany by joy. Also cannot be accompanied by displeasure. It's just neutral only. And also restlessness. When our mind is restlessness, cannot be joy, also cannot be neutral. Cannot be displeasure. Only accompanied by equanimity. So all this, the consciousness rooted in greed has delusion as underlying cause. And the consciousness rooted in anger also has delusion as underlying cause. But consciousness rooted in delusion has only one root, that is the root of delusion. So these are all 12 unwholesome consciousness. Now we go to beautiful, 24 beautiful consciousness. This 24 beautiful can be divided into 8 wholesome, 8 resultant, and 8 functional. What are the 8 wholesome? One consciousness accompanied by joy associated with knowledge unprompted. Suppose you offer something to the monks and nuns. And when you do the time, you do with joy. So it's accompanied by joy. And with knowledge, you understand the law of karma. You understand doing dana is good action, will produce good results. That's called associated with knowledge. And unprompted, you do it yourself without inducement by your friends. Suppose today you come to listen to Dhamma talk. Is it prompted or unprompted? You know yourself, huh? Is it prompted? So when you do something good, the consciousness is prompted. Is it good which one is better? When you do something good, you do it with unprompted. And another one, you do it with prompted. Which one is better?
Unprompted.
If you do something good with unprompted, the result, you will bear a result faster and more. If you do it prompted, you bear a result slow and less. Then if you do something, if you perform some charity with joy, some people perform charity with joy, some people perform charity with equanimity. Which one is better?
With joy.
With joy. Buddha say, if you do dana, before you do it, you have joy. The moment you do it, you have joy. And after you do it, when you reflect, you have joy. This is called superior dana. Superior dana. Even though in Kuala Lumpur, some people say me that, before that you think that just do it with equanimity. Do not hope of anything. It's a test. But after he listened this Dhamma talk, he know, he understand we must do it with joy. So he said that he has tried to create that joy before he do it. So if you don't have the joy, you also have to try to create that joy in order to bear better results. And let's say number 3. One consciousness accompanied by joy, dissociated from knowledge unprompted. If you do any good deeds, whether you're keeping your precept, doing dana, listening to the Dhamma talk, and service, the service you offer. If you do it dissociated from knowledge, not understanding the law of karma. If you do it without understanding the law of karma, when this karma ripens, it will produce result. Whatever action, whether it perform with greed or non-greed, hatred or non-hatred, it leaves behind karmic potency. When that karmic potency ripens, because you do it dissociated from knowledge, so when it produces result, it produces rebirth consciousness dissociated with knowledge. So if your rebirth consciousness is dissociated with knowledge, then you only have two roots. The root of non-greed and the root of non-hatred without the root of non-delusion. Non-delusion means wisdom. So without the root of wisdom. So if your rebirth consciousness has no root of wisdom, then when you come to meditation practice, you cannot achieve jhana, not to speak nibbana. Okay, so whatever you do, do it with the understanding of law of karma. And the 8th sense sphere resultant consciousness. This 8 are identical result of previous 8 wholesome consciousness. So they are the result of previous 8 wholesome consciousness. And this 8 sense sphere resultant consciousness become the rebirth consciousness for human beings and for devas. So human beings rebirth consciousness can be associated with knowledge or dissociated with knowledge, and can be accompanied by joy or accompanied by equanimity. If your rebirth consciousness is accompanied by equanimity, you will become a person who has very few, very less joy, never smile, And the next one, the eastern sphere functional consciousness. This type of consciousness only can be experienced by Arahant. So it's not our concern. We don't have to study this. Okay, now we go to rootless consciousness. There are 18 rootless consciousness. This 18 rootless consciousness can be divided into three groups. Unwholesome, unwholesome resultant, 8 wholesome resultant, and 3 functional. The 7 unwholesome resultant. This 18 rootless consciousness I have not yet discussed with you in my previous talk. So I will go a little bit slow now. Number one, before that, why is it called rootless? It's called rootless because it has no root. We have studied 6 types of root. What are the 6? Greed, hatred, delusion are called 3 unwholesome root. Another 3 wholesome root: non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. Okay. So rootless has no root at all. No unwholesome root and no wholesome root, called rootless. This, since roots are an important factor to stabilize consciousness. So consciousness without root is very weak, not strong. So there are 18. Now let us study the 7 unwholesome resultant first. Here, unwholesome resultant. Resultant itself cannot be wholesome or unwholesome. Now, but why we say unwholesome? Here means unwholesome karma. The result of previous unwholesome karma. So there are 7. Number 1 is called fixed-rate I consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. Okay.
Consciousness.
Body consciousness accompanied by pain. Receiving consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. Investigating consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. Okay, number 1. I consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. Why is accompanied by neutral feeling? Because it's very really weak. Suppose you see a spitter on the ground. So the eye consciousness sees the spitter or saliva on the ground. So is it this wholesome or unwholesome? Unwholesome resultant or wholesome resultant? Unwholesome. So when you see something bad, it is your unwholesome karma. It's your unwholesome resultant from your previous unwholesome karma. So when you see feces, when you go out, you see feces. Tiny feces, not a good sign. Something bad, you know. They believe in omen. Chinese believe in omen. But if you see something bad, whatever you see, if you see something bad, it's your resultant, unwholesome resultant from your unwholesome karma done previously. This eye consciousness is a resultant consciousness. Okay, suppose you see the spitter on the ground. Now you understand, it's my unwholesome resultant. Then how should you react? The seeing itself is unwholesome resultant. But the reaction itself is no more unwholesome. How you react when you see spitter on the ground? If you react wisely, then wholesome jhana run many times. If you react unwisely, unwholesome jhana run many times. I'd like to relate one story. Ammapali. Ammapali, during Buddha's time, she was prostitute. But even though she was prostitute, she became Arahant. So why a person who has such potentiality to become arahant can be a prostitute. Why? Karma. Karma. Because in one of her previous existence, she was bhikkhuni. Her duty was clean, was to clean up the pagoda. So one day, she saw a spitter on the ground near the pagoda. So seeing the spitter is unwholesome resultant. It's her unwholesome resultant because of unwholesome karma in the past. But she reacts in aversion. And she gets very angry while seeing that spitter on the ground near pagoda. Then she said, which prostitute spat, it's called spat, or spit the spitter here? So she reacts in anger. Unfortunately, the one who spit the spitter on the ground was Arahan Bhikkhuni. This Arahan Bhikkhuni was very old. So when we get old, sometimes we cannot control our saliva. That saliva felt on the ground accidentally. But when this spitter was seen by Amma Pali, then she uttered her speech. And because of this karma, many lifetimes she became prostitute. Even during Buddha's time, she has all the potential to become arahant, and yet she was still prostitute. Of course, after she became bhikkhuni, she will not do this work. So now we understand. Now whatever we see, if we see the eye consciousness seeing the unpleasant object, it's because of our previous unwholesome karma. It's a result of our previous unwholesome karma. So also similarly, ear consciousness. If the ear hear something very sharp, very unpleasant to the ear, it's unwholesome resultant from our previous unwholesome karma. Then the nose, if the nose smells something very bad, it's also unwholesome resultant from our previous unwholesome karma. Tongue also. And the next one, body consciousness accompanied by pain. Now a question for you. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose and tongue are accompanied by neutral feeling. Why is body consciousness accompanied by pain? We cannot accept everything, we must think it. Why? I must ask those who are sleepy. Why? Eye consciousness takes what object? Eye consciousness takes what object? Okay, you may not know. Ear consciousness takes what object? That is easy to know. Okay, sound. Sound, in materiality, in matter, we have not yet reached matter. Matter, there are two types of materiality. One is called four primary elements. Earth, fire, water, and wind. And depend on these four, there are another 24 derived materiality. Sound is derived materiality. Okay. Body consciousness takes what object? Many of you are not new in Abhidhamma. So what is the object of body consciousness? Tangible object. So what are the tangible objects? Earth element, fire, and wind. These three are called tangible objects, the object of body consciousness. So these three, earth, fire, and wind, are the three of the four primary elements. So the body consciousness directly takes it's three primary elements. Thus, the impact is very strong. Since the impact is strong, the accompanied feeling cannot be neutral. It must be either pain or pleasure. This is the reason. Okay? I don't know if you understand or not. Okay. Then the next, receiving. And since this is unwholesome resultant, so the accompanied feeling is pain, body consciousness, cannot be pleasure. The next one, receiving consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. Receiving and investigating, we have discussed during in our connected process, so I will not explain again. Now we have finished 7, now we go to 8. The 8 wholesome resultant rootless consciousness. Can you read for me? I consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling.
Zero consciousness, most consciousness, calm consciousness, body consciousness accompanied by pleasure, receiving consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling, meditating consciousness accompanied by joy, meditating consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling.
So now it's a wholesome resultant. Wholesome. So when the eye consciousness seeing the pleasant object, when your eye see the Buddha image, at that moment it's your wholesome resultant. You perform the wholesome resultant from the wholesome karma you previously done. Okay. And when your ear hear the pleasant sound, or for example now your ear hear the Dhamma talk, it's a wholesome resultant from the wholesome karma you previously done. Same as your nose smell the good smell, the tongue taste the good taste, and the body consciousness accompanied by pleasure. That's also the wholesome resultant from your previous good karma. The next one is receiving, and there are two investigating here. One is accompanied by joy, one is accompanied by neutral feeling. Accompanied by joy when the object is extremely pleasant, and then the investigating consciousness will accompanied by joy. When the object is pleasant, not extremely pleasant, then it will be accompanied by neutral feeling. So these are the 8 wholesome resultant rootless consciousness. Another one is rootless functional consciousness. Number 1, please read 5 words.
Averting consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. My door averting consciousness. Smiling releasing consciousness accompanied by joy.
So here during 5 committed process, I will mention this. Now I will not tell you. Yeah, my door averting consciousness also accompanied by neutral feeling. Then the last one, smile producing consciousness accompanied by joy. This one belongs to Arahant and Buddha. When they see something, when they see something, they smile. Because of certain reason, they smile. Not like us. Okay, so now we have finished 54 sense-feel consciousness. Shall we take a break? Okay, we take 10 minutes break.